This is Leo for actualized.org, and in this video, we're going to talk about optimism. Okay, welcome back. So let's crack into this. Optimism. Let's talk about why optimism is important, what optimism is, some details about the different aspects of optimism. I think you're going to find that very interesting. We can dissect it quite a bit. This is a topic that has been studied by many researchers in the positive psychology movement, just very recently in the last 40 or 30 years. And then we're going to give you some practical ways to start to actually build up your optimism. Do you want to be more optimistic? Yeah, it's awesome. I love feeling optimistic. I love being able to look forward to my future. So for me, that's like huge. This exercise that I'm going to share with you at the end of the video is going to be huge. So stay with me. It's simple, but it's really powerful, and it's really going to build up your optimism in a very practical way. All right, so let's get into this. So first of all, why is optimism something that we should care about? What's important about it? Well, a lot of the information that I bring to you here comes from Dr. Martin Seligman, and he is one of the leaders of the positive psychology movement right now, and he published a seminal work. I don't remember exactly when it was, but it was like 30 or 40 years ago. He published this brilliant work and a book called Learned Optimism, where what he did is he did a lot of research about how optimism works. And he looked at the effects of optimism in business, in the workplace, in social situations, just in our private lives. And he looked at all the different variables that are involved. He really broke it down, did the research, found ways to actually build up optimism. And a lot of my information is coming from there. So one of the things that they found in that research is they found that optimism is important for success in life. People that are more optimistic are just more successful. Why is this? The reason this is, I think, ultimately, we'll boil it down to here, is to persistence. When you're able to remain optimistic, you're able to stick with the process. You're able to stick on the path, and you're able to bust past many more obstacles than a pessimistic person would. And you simply see more opportunities, you try more things. And when that happens, what do you think? Does that make you more successful, or does that make you less successful? Right, how could you possibly be unsuccessful if you are super, super persistent, if you're super, super hopeful, if you're willing to try every avenue, if you're willing to do it all, and you're just willing to go all out and test it all and still remain hopeful and still remain happy, still remain cheerful, still remain confident? I mean, isn't that something that you want to have as a personal trait? I mean, I know that sounds awesome. I can just see all the different places in my life where I failed, where I've fallen off track, where I wasn't able to do as much as I wanted at the gym or with my nutrition or with my job or my career, or some project that I started, you know, things that I procrastinated on. You can just see that if I was more optimistic in those situations, I would have been able to push through a little bit more, just a little bit more. And sometimes that's all it takes, is just a little bit extra push, one extra obstacle that you get through, and then you get a new resurgence, like a second wind of motivation, and then that carries you through. But in the meantime, you need that optimism. So some of the most successful people that you'll find in the world and in some of the biggest corporations and companies out there are extremely optimistic. And they did studies on this, and they actually proved it. And a lot of companies actually started to use this research and started to give their employees tests. When they were hiring employees, they would look and they would specifically test the employee, not on their technical skills, but they would test the employee on his outlook on life and on his optimism level. And they would hire the people that are more optimistic. For example, they did this in the insurance industry, in the life insurance industry, because what they found is that, for example, for salesmen, optimism is one of the leading factors, one of the critical factors for their sales success. And what they found is that the people, the salesmen in a life insurance company, for example, the ones that outsell everybody else, those are usually the most optimistic. And why is that? Because selling life insurance requires a lot of optimism. You have to do a lot of cold calling. You have to be out there talking with clients, with prospects. And that whole process can be very demoralizing if you go out there and you call one client and that client rejects you and he says, no, I'm not interested in life insurance. And you get a second client who says no, and a third client, and a fourth client, and then 10 clients later, most of us, most normal people, would be so demoralized that we would say, screw this. this cold calling business doesn't work. It's too painful. Like, I get rejected too much. And so we would get so hurt by it that we would quit, because we would assume that because we got 10 rejections, that we'll keep getting rejections. But the optimistic person, he'll get 10 rejections and he'll say to himself, okay, I got 10 rejections, but this 11th one, this 11th call, this might be the one. And then sure enough, he makes that 11th call and he nails it. He lands it. And so he gets his success, and then he just builds on it and builds on it and builds on it. And this is actually very practical. You can see this in sales numbers for the top salesmen in the country. You've got to be very optimistic if you're doing cold call sales. So you can just see how this might translate and apply to something that you're doing in your life, right? How many projects have you fallen off track with? How many diets? Right, exactly. How many things do you know you need to be doing, but you're not doing them because you tell yourself that they're not going to work? That you've tried it, but it's never going to happen? That's you being pessimistic. So being optimistic is great for your success level and performance level. I think it's also good because it just makes you feel good. When you're optimistic, you feel better. You're more cheerful. And it helps you avoid things like depression, depressive episodes. Nobody likes to be in those holes, right? All right, so what is optimism ultimately? You know, if we define optimism, it's basically a hopeful outlook for the future. If you think that your future is going to be better than today, then you're going to be optimistic. You're going to be hopeful. You know, good stuff is coming. If you expect bad stuff to be coming in your future, then you're going to be depressed. You're going to be sad. You're going to be miserable. You're going to be afraid. So that's really the bottom line difference. Martin Seligman, one of the brilliant things that he did in his research is he said that optimism is explained, and pessimism and optimism, he really studied both sides of this one coin. He said that the difference is explanatory style. It's the way that you explain and the way that you attach meanings to the things that are happening to you in your life. So it's not that the pessimistic and the optimistic person, they both face the same challenge. So they face exactly the same challenge, but the question is, what kind of meaning do you assign to it? Because it's all in the meanings that you assign to things. An optimistic person will get the same bad situation. He'll get that same flat tire on his way to work. But he'll assign a different explanation, a different meaning to it than a pessimistic person would. And there are three different types of explanatory style that lead to either optimism or pessimism. So let's go over those. The first is permanence. How permanent is the problem? So let's say you get a flat tire. How permanent is that problem? Will the problem last forever? So an optimist will say, well, it's just a flat tire. I mean, in the grand scheme of my life, it means nothing. Just a flat tire, we'll fix it in a few hours. Who cares? Tomorrow won't be an issue. What about the pessimist? Well, the pessimist will start to say, oh my God, I got a flat tire. Flat tire, how am I going to fix this? How long is it going to take to fix? And in his mind, he builds it up as though this is going to last for his whole life. It seems like it's something that's going to be permanent. It's never going to be fixed. Maybe a flat tire is not the best example for that, because I think most rational people would say that, yeah, a flat tire can be fixed pretty quickly. But how about something like a divorce or a breakup in a relationship? Well, an optimistic person would say, I broke up, I really loved that person, it didn't work, but you know, there's plenty of fish in the sea, we'll go out there, this is just one relationship, I'm going to have many, many relationships in my whole life. So in the grand scheme of things, it's not a permanent problem. The pessimist, what does he do? He looks at that relationship, and this is the end of his life. He sees that he's going to be single and miserable for the rest of his life. He's probably going to die lonely. Nobody loves him, and it's just going to be that way forever, right? It's permanent. When you think that a problem is permanent, you don't want to take any action to change it. You're totally powerless. You're totally a victim, because now you have nothing to look forward to. The optimist, he looks forward to a nice relationship in a few months. The pessimist, he looks forward to being miserable for the rest of his life. What, you know, who's going to feel better? Who's going to go out there and be more resourceful? Pretty clear, right? How about the next point? Pervasiveness. All right, so this is the second explanatory style. Pervasiveness. And this basically asks the question of, you know, will this undermine everything? How pervasive is the problem? So if you get a flat tire, how pervasive is it? How much does it affect every category of your life? An optimist will say, well, it's just a flat tire. All it really affects is right now, today, so maybe I'll be late for work and I'll miss something at work. And that's just work, really. The rest of my life is unaffected. My relationship is great, unaffected. My hobbies are great. My health is great, totally unaffected. So only this little category of life is affected by this flat tire. This, you know, my job, that's it. And even there, it's still limited. It's not like I'm going to lose my job just because of that. So that's the optimist. What does the pessimist think? The pessimist starts to spread this around. It's like a cancer. It starts to spread. So what should have been classified as a local problem becomes a global problem. Now, all of a sudden, a flat tire, well, you start to think, well, the flat tire means I'm going to be late for work. And if I'm late for work, I'm going to get yelled at there. And that's going to put me in a bad mood. Then I'm going to come home and then I'm going to be in a bad mood and I'm going to be late for dinner. And then my wife is going to yell at me and we're going to have a fight again. And then because of that, I'm going to miss the gym and the kids are going to be upset and da 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 da. And it just kind of spreads out. And basically your whole life now has been tainted by a very local phenomenon, which was a flat tire. We can also see how significant this is, right? How much more resourceful is the optimistic person when they can limit the problem and contain it within a small little area? It literally is like a cancer. If you can contain that cancer, you're much better off than letting it spread through your whole body. Okay, and the third point of explanatory style is personalization. What the optimist does is whenever there's a problem, he tends to say that he is not responsible for the problem. And if there's something good that happens, he tends to take credit for it, right? So in this situation, if there's a flat tire, he'll say, oh, just bad luck. I drove over a nail and got a flat tire. No biggie. It wasn't my fault. If something good happens to him, like he gets a promotion, then he's going to do the opposite. He's going to say, yeah, that promotion, I got that promotion because it was me. I went out there, I worked my ass off for a whole year. I beat my sales figures. Now I got this awesome promotion. That was me. That was all me. That's what an optimist does. What does a pessimist do? A pessimist does the inverse of that. That means that when there is this flat tire, the pessimist is going to look at it and say, God damn it, I should have been, like, why wasn't I more careful? I should have been more careful and not driven on that nail. And in his mind, he blames himself. And then the reverse of it is when he has something positive happen, he tends to be humble. And like he gets that promotion, he says, well, yeah, I got that promotion. Sure, I worked for a year, but in the end, anyone could have gotten that promotion. It wasn't really me. It was a company. The company needed someone, and I was the only one to fit the bill. So really, I can't take credit for that promotion. It was really the right timing, the right situation, nothing to do with me. So he's not invested in the positive stuff. This is another really big distinguishing factor between positive thinking people and negative thinking people. And you can see how much this affects your willingness to go out there and take action in the world. When you think that you're responsible for everything that's good and not so much responsible for anything that's bad, then you want to go out there and you want to act and you're feeling hopeful. And if you're thinking the opposite, then you don't want to act. You feel miserable. You're beating yourself up. You're feeling guilty all the time. So the question is, ultimately, what is your explanatory style? You can actually get tested on this. There are tests out there that will assess you on the different levels of your explanatory style, and then you can actually do things to improve it. A little bit too much to get into here, getting all into all the tactics there. But the question is, you know, how optimistic are you about your future? What do you think about your future right now? Are you hopeful for the next month? Are you excited about all the stuff that's going to happen to you in the next 6 months? How about in the next year? How about in the next decade? Are you excited for the next decade of your life? If you're not, then you're not being very optimistic. And that is something that can be tweaked. This is something that can be worked on with a few little techniques. And actually, I'm going to give you a great technique right now that is going to help you turn this around. So if you're not optimistic, this will help you. And if you are optimistic, this will take you to the next level if you do this exercise. So the key point that I want you to take away here is that optimism can be stoked up like a fire. You know, you've got a campfire and it's kind of dying down, and then you can blow air on it and you can put some more kindling on it, and it'll spark up and flare up. Well, that's what you can do with your optimism. So right now, maybe you're just feeling kind of at a baseline level where you're not too pessimistic about your future, but you're not too excited either. So what I recommend you do is you do the following exercise. I want you to take your journal, piece of paper, something where you can write, and I want you to write out and list 30 things that you're most excited about in the next year that you're going to do. 30 things that you're super, super excited about. Maybe it's that vacation you want to take. Maybe it's that relationship that you hope to get into. Maybe it's that promotion at work you know you're going to get. Maybe it's having all your credit card debts eliminated. Maybe it's starting that new business of yours or starting that dream project or losing some weight, whatever it is, but start writing it down and be as specific as possible. 30 things that you're excited about achieving in the next year that really, really motivate you. Try to focus on the ones that get you excited. This is simple. Like, this is all. This is the whole exercise. Sit down and actually do this. Take 20 minutes or whatever it takes you to write all this stuff out. And notice how you feel. Notice how you feel right now. Notice how you feel before you do the exercise. And then I want you to notice how you feel after you finish it. If you're like me, you're going to feel so much more optimistic. You're going to feel energized. You're going to feel happy. You're going to feel alive. You're going to feel like there's something to your life because your future now is bright and it's right here before your eyes. You've articulated it. You've laid it out very clearly and it's right before you. I recommend you do this exercise more than once. Do it right now, but also continue to do it throughout your life. Continue to do it. Do it at least once a month. Do it even once a week because it's going to get you connected back to the stuff that's exciting to you. And it's also going to, you know, your mind is going to brainstorm and come up with new stuff to put on that list. And you can be brainstorming about what you're going to be doing for the whole year, but you can also localize it down and you can shorten the time frame to something like the next month or even what you're going to be doing over the next week or even today. Even today, you can do it. Just like, what are 5 things you're going to be excited about doing today? If you do that exercise in the morning, just for 5 minutes, what are the 5 things you're going to be excited about doing today? It'll probably even take you just 2 minutes to do that. You're going to feel you're going to be much more excited about your day, and you're going to be much more optimistic. All right, so this is what I've got to say about optimism. I'm going to be signing off. Go ahead and post me your comments down below. I'd love to hear feedback and your thoughts on this stuff. Also, please like this and share this so we can spread this around, get people more aware about what optimism is and how to become more optimistic. And then, of course, go and check out actualize.org and sign up to our newsletter there, because what I've got for you is I've got articles coming out every week, awesome information, stuff that's taken me years to distill and define and to process for you guys. I'm putting that out every week, and I'm making it short and concise so that you get just the practical stuff that you need to start to improve your life, to start to live a happier, more optimistic, more fulfilling kind of life, a big, exciting kind of life that you know that you deserve. And when you sign up right now, you get some exclusive bonuses. You get an exclusive 19-part video series for how to start creating an extraordinary life. That's only available to my subscribers for free, it is. And you can also sign up and you can get a chance to win 2 hours of free coaching, which I give away to one of my subscribers every month.